We are now going to have our Bible reading for this morning.
Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of believers. They, that's the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship in the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But thanks be to God. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Rupert. Okay, so just to remind you, we are doing a short kind of mini-series, really, exploring what it means to be a church member. And I guess many, if not most of you, are a member of Park Road Baptist Church. Some of you are not, and our hope and our prayer is that you will consider becoming a member of the church. I think I began, or before we began, I kind of posed a question, didn't I? Who can become a member of the church? Can anyone become a member of the church? And I answered that by saying, yes, anyone can, and no, not anyone can. Bit of a conundrum. And then last week we looked at that a church member is someone who is primarily committed to Jesus. Yeah, we looked at that last week from Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And there was a huge turnaround, a huge U-turn that the people did. Because by and large, most people thought, well, Jesus kind of deserved to die. That he was an imposter, a fake. He wasn't really the Messiah. How could he be? He was crucified, after all. And so Peter stood up and tried to explain, actually, he was God's Messiah, and has showed that from Old Testament scripture, one by King David, who spoke about someone whose body would not see decay. And Peter says he was speaking about the resurrection. And then Peter says, but we also are witnesses of Jesus rising from the dead. And to explain all this babbling that's going on, all these languages that you're hearing, the wonders of God, that is the Holy Spirit that's been poured out, that was promised, and is now poured out. And as people heard this, we were told that they were cut to the heart. Basically, we've got it all wrong. And then do this U-turn about the person of Jesus. And the response is, well, what shall we do? What do we do now? We've got it all wrong. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then we read at the end of that, that over 3,000 people were added to the church. Over 3,000 people did that U-turn and committed their life to follow Jesus. And they became part of the church. And so to be a member of the church is first and foremost to be committed as a believer in the Lord Jesus, to confess our sin, to receive his forgiveness, and be empowered by his Holy Spirit. Secondly, and the one we're going to look at today, is to be a church member means being, and this is kind of to say the obvious really, isn't it? To be committed to the life of this church. If you're going to be a member of this church, you're to be committed to it. I wonder if, like me, you have a pile of these in your purse or wallet. Yep. I think most of us do, don't we? Loyalty cards. And you get loyalty cards. We're encouraged to have them, by the way, aren't we? And you get them for all sorts of things, for coffee shops, for buying petrol at the petrol station, or diesel, what, you know, fuel. At the supermarket, of course, and numerous other places, you can have a loyalty card. What does it mean to be loyal? I struggle with this concept of loyalty, because actually, particularly in these loyalty cards, it is a good thing to have because we benefit from them. It's to our benefit to have a loyalty card. And so to be loyal is a good thing. We're happy to be considered loyal and to have loyalty cards. And we can be loyal to all sorts of things, you know, a football team, for example, or a church, or a former church, or a particular brand, or a superstore, etc. Loyalty. How about this word? Commitment. We're not quite so keen on this word, I don't suppose. This is a word that we struggle to talk about, and we feel a little bit uneasy about loyalty we're fine with. Commitment just seems another step, doesn't it? And it comes with the idea that it might cost us something. See, with loyalty, and certainly in the loyalty cards, we gain something, we get something from that. But the idea of commitment kind of suggests it might cost us to give something. So we're not quite so comfortable with commitment. Okay, we're going to turn to that passage then, the early church, and that's chapter 2. And in lots of Bibles, I think the one that Rupert read from has a heading, The Fellowship of the Believers. In other words, it's going to tell us how this group of believers lived together. How they lived together, how they lived out their faith together. Now, of course, it doesn't tell us everything, I don't think, but it is a powerful summary of how they did life together. And I want to stress, actually, it is their life together. It's not how they lived the Christian life individually, or personally, or on their own. It's together. It's a together thing. It's how they did life with each other. So we're told that they devoted themselves. Perhaps we should just stop there, really. They devoted themselves. In other words, there is a powerful commitment running through this group of believers. A powerful love that binds them together. They were devoted. That's a strong word, isn't it? Devoted. No, they're all in. Here's a picture of our dog. Our dog, Pippin. Why am I showing you a picture of our dog? Well, you know, when I go home most days in the car and I get into the drive, our dog seems to recognize or hear the car coming in. And normally if Carol's at home, she'll open the door and out comes this cute little bundle of fur going absolutely mental. Comes bounding out, it would jump up on me and lick my face, and I bend down and stroke it and try and push it off a little bit. And it's just so pleased to see me. And likewise, you know, after perhaps a day at church or doing various other things, it's a nice welcome, isn't it? Who wouldn't like that? And, you know, I reciprocate my feelings or towards the dog. You know, I would walk the dog, even in the rain, as you have to do. You dog owner, if you're a dog, you know these things. Or if I go out running, which I do quite often, this morning I was running and invariably the dog would come with me. So we have this kind of connection, and it often follows me around, even in the house, or if we go out for a walk, if I'm with Carol and we're out shopping, and one of us goes into a shop, our poor little dog will sit there pining. You know, like, I missed you, don't leave me. It's devoted. And I guess I'm fairly devoted to our dog as well. Well, these disciples were devoted. Of course, they were not devoted to a dog, were they? They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to learning more about Jesus from those who spent time with Jesus. You know, tell me the parables. You know, tell me again, just wanting to hear and learn from the apostles, perhaps from the scriptures, wanting to know more about the life of Jesus. What did he teach? How do we live in this kingdom that he talked about? Well, they were devoted to that. They couldn't get enough of that. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to learning, to growing, to the process of being changed as they learned more about what God, how God wanted them to live out this new life. And then secondly, we're told they were devoted to the fellowship. Now we use that word fellowship, I think, certainly from my experience, you know, I would say fairly loosely. So we might, for example, you're probably familiar with this, we might say, right, well, after the service, we'll have tea and coffee and a time of fellowship. Now, what we really mean is a bit of chit-chat, really, don't we? Let's be honest. And a bit of a catch-up. Is that what is meant by fellowship? Well, kind of. I think one person described fellowship as friendship with a spiritual dimension. I like that, really. It is friendship, isn't it? It's time together, but it's not just talking about the football or the weather or what I'm going to have for dinner or whatever it might be. It's not general chit-chat, which is fair enough, but it might be talking about what we've learned in reading the Bible or talking about what God is doing in our lives. Maybe talking about some of the things we struggle with. So it's taking general conversation but going a bit deeper and really trying to bring God into that. They were devoted to fellowship. There, we use a little term now to be intentionally relational. You know, to develop relationships with people that are not simply surface level, where we really invest in each other. Now, it's so easy to be part of a church and have our own kind of private culture or clique, where the only friends we have are the friends we've had for the last 30 years. You know, and it can be quite uncomfortable, and I know it can be uncomfortable, to get to know someone new. But once you get past that initial awkwardness, what joy, what richness comes from that. So let's keep our old friends, but let's also open our arms to welcome new friends as well. So what did this fellowship look like? Well, we read in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. I guess you could simply say their attitude wasn't about what I could get or even this is mine, but what can I share? How can I use the resources that I have to benefit others? That was a kind of depth to their fellowship. Looking for ways, and actually quite costly ways, actually, when you think about it, to sell property in order to perhaps alleviate poverty elsewhere. As a church and as a church member, giving financially is important, not something we talk about very often. And now, I think in past days, we used to pass around a bag, an offering bag, and people could put an offering in. Thankfully, I would say, we don't do that anymore, but it can be quite an embarrassing thing to do. Or you perhaps feel obliged to give, which is not really the place our giving should come from. The Bible doesn't tell us about how much we should give or contribute financially, but it does say, certainly in the New Testament, we should give generously and joyfully. And that is part of being a church member, where we give to support one another as a body of God's people. Because we don't just give materially, we share our insights together. As I said earlier, we share something about what God is doing. It's a shared life, sharing with one another all that God pours into our lives. So perhaps that's a challenge for some of us. It is for me, I have to say. You know, this attitude of wanting to share, to give, out of what God has given to us. We can also share our lives in our growth groups. We have, is it four, possibly, growth groups who meet during the week. If you're not part of one of those, I would encourage you to be a part of that. And be devoted to that, to be devoted to one another in fellowship. And on Sunday morning, our fellowship is very limited, isn't it, over tea and coffee. But in a small group, we can begin to share at another level. They were devoted to fellowship. And they were told they were devoted to the breaking of bread. You know, at the very center of their life together was remembering what Jesus had done for them. That was always their focus. It was always about Jesus, and Jesus-centered, Jesus-focused. And on this sharing bread, sharing wine, remembering what Jesus has done, the price he's paid, the reason why we're here. And thankfully that's something we do. We do it once a month, where we gather around the table and we remember and give thanks. Well, that was true for the early church. They were devoted to remembering Jesus, being Jesus at the center. We're told actually they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. A joyful remembering, a joyful celebrating all that God has done for them in Jesus. Remembering, his sacrifice for them. And then finally, we are told they were devoted to prayer. And it kind of reminds us of our dependency upon God. I mean, why do we pray? If we can manage everything fine by ourselves, we don't need to pray, do we? But we can't. And God offers us the gift of prayer. It's about coming together, not with a shopping list, but to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. No, we are a heaven and earth people, aren't we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, God, we want more of heaven on earth. We are to be a heaven and earth people. They devoted themselves to prayer. Are we devoted to prayer? That's part of church membership, isn't it? This is our together life. You know, don't you? We do meet once a month to pray together. Sunday at 5, which is sometimes Sunday at 6. But just once a week, once a month, an opportunity for us as a church to gather together, to seek God's will, to pray for heaven to be brought down to earth, for God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done in our lives, in the life of our church, our community, and our world. Devoted to prayer. So church membership, it means ultimately or primarily being devoted to Jesus, committed to following him, as Julie was sharing earlier, to follow Jesus, have him at the center of our lives, to be our King, our Lord, but also to be committed to one another, to be committed to the life of this church. I think actually marriage is quite a helpful way of seeing it. You know, you can date someone, you can even live with someone, but when you marry someone, it's quite different, isn't it? It's quite different to stand up before God himself, as it were, and before people, and say, I commit myself to this one person for all my life. You know, that's not just a date. And it's more than just living in with someone. That is being committed, devoted, all in. You know, we can date with the church, we can flirt with the church, we can live with the church. But are we devoted? Are we fully committed? So, in summary, these early disciples who had just given their life to Jesus, just found themselves in this new community, we're told that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship with one another, to the breaking of bread, Jesus at the center, and to prayer. That's a good summary, I think, isn't it, of the early church and what it means to be part of the church. Well, lots, I think, for us to think about. Even if you're not a member of the church, perhaps there's a challenge here as well. Does that reflect my church membership? Okay, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the church. Thank you for this, our church. Lord, there are so many blessings of being part of your body, so many privileges. And yet we know there comes responsibilities as well. And we've thought, Lord, this morning of some of the challenges of being part of your body. Lord, thank you for the early church. I'm sure not perfect, and yet nonetheless they were devoted in these key areas of life together. Lord, help us to hear the challenge where we've been challenged, and not to kind of walk away or duck from an issue, but to respond to what we've heard from you. So we bless you, Lord. We bless you for one another. We bless you for our time shared this morning, worshiping, praying, listening, hearing your word. Lord, would you work in our lives by your Spirit to bring about the change that you desire as we offer ourselves to you again. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.